Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She D T F.
She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lou, I'm on my bag. Got that code and a Sprite.
Welcome to DTF, the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour, the greatest sex education comedy podcast in the known universe. I am your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Timmery.
And I'm the other guy, Daryl Charles.
Yes, you are the other guy. I'm one guy, you're the other guy.
Yeah, well, I think I was definitely going for a Bruce Banner Hulk thing.
Okay.
I always refer to the Hulk as the other guy.
Okay. So is it me that's yes. always mad?
I was about to say, I mean, it's not a matter of mad. I think it's like we can both be mad, but like you're the one with the Hulk strength when it comes to knowledge of human sexuality.
Yes, Hulk smash. But yeah. Daryl's the one with the actual strength when it comes to putting the air conditioner back in my window.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility.
So today we also have another incredibly powerful superhero joining us for the first time on DTF, but a frequent visitor of my other podcast, Sex with Timmery. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sophia Yen. How are you doing?
I'm good. Just a heads up that I caught a cold, so if I have to cough, I might cough.
Yeah.
Go for it. This is all about being who you are.
Mm-hmm. It's about being who you are and letting your fluids fly freely.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, yeah. So Dr. Yen, for the folks who are not already familiar with your work, can you tell them what all you do?
Yes, yes. My mom said, always claim all your titles. So everybody, if you got some titles, go claim all the titles. So I am a clinical associate professor in adolescent medicine at one of the major medical institutions in California. Not going to name them because they don't like it when I name them when I'm talking like crazy stuff, sex and politics and stuff like that. I'm also the CEO and co-founder of Pandia Health. We are the only doctor-led, the only women-founded, women-led birth control delivery company. And we're building the online health brand women can trust as the only doctor-led, the only women-founded-led company in this space. Starting with birth control, adding on acne. We're going to launch menopause end of this year. And I love to talk adolescent medicine, which is sex, drugs, rock and roll, a little acne, and some sports medicine. So, so happy to be here today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining.
Yeah. That's the best parts of high school. Sex, drugs, and acne, baby. That was all I was worried about. I guess sometimes math homework.
I'm still worried about all of those things. Is this a sign of protracted adolescence?
I do think there's extended adolescence for a lot of people until you have a significant other and mortgage and bills to pay. And then you can get out of adolescence. But until then, enjoy.
All right. I'm going to be I don't know. I'm just going to be a kid. It's fine.
I'm worried about them all still, but they aren't at the forefront of my mind like they once were when I was a youth. I find time to talk about other things.
like Marvel characters.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. Like the new Spider-Man movie. That's yeah.
Oh,
which
I'm
I guess I
tonight.
Was doing. Ooh, I went on Friday. Friday. We went on Friday.
And
also the previous Tuesday, yes.
But, oh, wow.
So it's good then, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. Oh, okay. And shout out to another previous guest, Satoyo, who went to go see it this weekend, and someone pulled a fire alarm with like 30 minutes left in the movie.
You'll never find out what happened.
Exactly. We back outside, and that's what it means sometimes.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Okay, well, I hope he gets to find out whatever happened to Spider-Man. All right. So on that note, let's head to our first regular segment, and that is the fucking news. We're going to start with a fun one. This is a fun one that I don't have a ton of information about, but I think it's really interesting. When I came across this article on Wired, I was like, well, this is what DTF exists for. It's for articles like this specifically. So there's a lot of discussion right now about the impacts of AI on culture. In fact, recently some folks have come out that it could be a threat to humanity in terms of pandemics and nuclear war. But on a less serious note, it is also stealing people's copyright protected materials. This is part of why WGA is striking, is that companies are using AI to like basically just do the work that they don't want to pay writers to do. And someone who is a fun little fan fiction community member went to Reddit and did a little experiment with AI just to see if they are scanning the like the fun, weird little fan fiction corners of the internet. And sure enough, they are, because they put in a prompt about the Omegaverse, which is full of sort of like, I guess the closest thing to describe it as is like furry culture, where people are alphas, omegas, and they write a lot of like romantic sexual fan fiction. And that includes very specific concepts to the culture, like the idea of knotting is very popular. We'll get into that in a moment. But just putting in a prompt into some AI proved that yes, in fact, they are scraping all of the fun corners of the internet and finding these very community specific slang. So how terrified are all of y'all?
I think it's terrifying, but it's funny because it's one, this is OpenAI's GPT-3, it was pseudo, right? Something that uses OpenAI's AI currently, but it's not like we haven't had our technology's not at a point where you have like we can create an AI, like it's a separate brain that like thinks on its own and we don't know how that works. These things are like large model data sets. So what they do is they have this robot essentially scour the internet and remember all of it, and then when they say do this thing for me, it goes through all the stuff that it's read and figures out the best way quickly. And the real neat thing is that it can do it in the time it would take to like speak to somebody about it, as opposed to, hey, do this, and then I got to go learn how to juggle while the computer compiles the information, right? Which is back in my programming days, how I learned to juggle. So the thing is, and the controversy, at least from the artists of the world and the creators of the world, is that this is stealing. The machine doesn't know this stuff. It read it and stole it from somewhere. And this is proof, because they used language that I did not know before I read this article, right? And you didn't know before you read this article. Maybe you know, a very small group knows this stuff, and this AI knows it, and there's only one way to get that from the internet. So it's just proof of what artists have been saying. It's like this thing is not creating, it's stealing. And it's stealing, and it's taking without attribution. And while, you know, it's very exciting to have computers do this kind of stuff, it's the attribution part, which should have been thought of by the creators of it before they released it onto the world. Because, you know, a human being, you can hold accountable and say, you stole that. That's not your actual intellectual property. That's mine. But with a machine, the people who create the machine get to pull that weird corporate logic where it's like, it's not me. It's this thing I made, and I took my hands off, so I can't be held accountable for its for what it has done. And so that is the large conversation. It just so happens that this one has to do with penises getting caught in orifices because they're bulbous at the end, and that constitutes a lifelong commitment.
Yeah. For context, sorry, before we go on with it further, we should just say, like, yeah, in this fan fiction world, that's very heavily inspired by the idea of like lifelong mating and being biologically connected to your mate, that you can like, you know, smell each other everywhere. And there's just like a lot more like physiological stuff that for some people is incredibly sexual and romantic. And one of the things that they have drawn from real animals is the idea of a bulbous penis, like Daryl said, that so your lens stuck inside of someone. You know, I think like a comparison that I know about is like how cats' penises work. They, with because of their barbs, they don't retract back in until after they've ejaculated, which means that like that is a that's a pretty intense sexual experience for the cat on the other end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, some people have really enjoyed writing about experiences of that, and now AI is also doing that. Yeah. Dr. Yen, what do you think about this?
I'm impressed. I think, you know, this shows that AI is everywhere and has eaten all that was out there. But my understanding is it ate everything in 2021. So anything that came after that, ChatGPT is not up to date. And so you need to like keep feeding it. But from the medical side, what we're concerned about is people have used it to write papers or argue in court. And what they didn't teach ChatGPT was not to lie. AKA it hallucinates or is delusional 10 to 20% of the time. And so it's like 88% accurate, but that's not okay for law. That's not okay for health. And it'll make up references. So even if you ask it to cite references, it'll like make up stuff because it wasn't told you can't make up stuff. And there are ways to check it. There are people doing other AI that will check the ChatGPT to bring it up higher. You know what I mean? But like the people that made it are now funded by Microsoft. So now there's a commercial thing versus like OpenAI. But also Microsoft does have a ton of money. So why don't they check their own, you know, and it's probably in their interest that they do that. And exactly as Daryl said, they didn't think of this in the beginning, and hopefully they will be ethical, but there is nothing to hold them to be ethical. And we as citizens need to educate ourselves, need to educate our young people that they know you can't believe anything that you see on the internet. And now with all these deep fakes and, you know, AI images of people, AI videos of people and whatnot. And then as creators, respecting other people's and giving them credit.
Yeah. I was just reading the other day about a lawyer who was just like deeply humiliated in court because he had turned in a document that had a bunch of fake cases in actual court documents, and he got totally caught, and he was just like, I'm just deeply humiliated. And he'd been a lawyer for decades.
That's sloppy and lazy. Someone else did his homework. Made you wonder who wrote his college essay.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, I get it. You want to use tools that make your life easier. And this person, who knows what part of the law they were, if they were a public defender who were usually woefully under-resourced, or if this person was the head lawyer for, you know, Halliburton or some nonsense like that, who is incredibly very much resourced with evil, right? Who knows? But like, yeah, the idea that this person cheated and got caught and is embarrassed is all that people want ChatGPT to be, you know, to feel that way. But the AI has no feelings because we've seen movies like, Space Odyssey. And
yes, 2001 A Space Odyssey. We all had to watch that back in the 1980s, right? In like 1984 and all sorts of crazy Hal. What are you doing? What are you doing, Hal? Don't unplug me, Hal. I'm going to blow up the world. And War Games, yes.
Yeah, it's like these machines have no feelings. They're just doing what they've been told to. And it's not like, and here's the thing. Especially because I am who I am and I follow the people I do on Twitter. There have been people ringing these bells for years now about ethics in AI. And those people, some of the people were working at the Googles and the Microsofts of the world. And then when they brought up those things, they were summarily let go. So it's not like, you know, I'm like, hey, you guys should be more ethical in the way you source material. And they go, oh, man, we never thought of that. Ah, appreciate you bringing that up. we're going to go handle that right now. That they, that's how they are acting. And that is not how they have acted. These were all things that if you were smart enough to create a large database, I'm sure in more than one meeting, someone said, should we be stealing? And then they said, no, this is just a test. So we can steal for now. We'll fix it later. And then they never fix it. And it's important that everyone who cares about this keeps yelling that they could have fixed this before and they refuse to. And what they're doing is creating gridlock in governments so that by the time the government comes up with a thing that says, like, on behalf of the people, you have to do this, they'll already have, I don't know, destroyed the world or whatever.
That's possible.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, like, in AI stuff, one of the things that I always think of is in iRobot. Which is a charming one of my I love
it's a nice
I love classic Will Smith.
It's a classic. Yeah. The author, you know, of that book.
Asimov.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Asimov is your classic sci-fi.
Yeah.
And but there's like three rules. Yeah.
There's a scene in there where, you know, Will Smith is arguing with this robot and he's like, well, can you write a symphony? Can you paint a masterpiece? And then the robot goes, can you?
Right.
And I was like, oh. Burn! It's become weaponized. It hurt his feelings.
They have then there's a scientist in the back that checks off sassy. It's like, boom, we nailed it.
Yes.
Read a bitch. Did you see that? We did that. Mm-hmm. That's a subroutine my team created.
Well, on the note of the internet and sex, we'll head to our next piece, which is our next regular segment, yeah. And that is Fucking Idiot, Fucking Brilliant. It is what it sounds like, if you're not already familiar. So we're going to start with our idiocy of today, and that is in one of the states where we get to talk about stuff a lot. It's Texas. We're headed to Texas once again, where state legislators have decided, and this is spearheaded by Republicans, but not opposed by any Democrats. So just shout out to everybody. Inspired by the work of all these like faith-based anti-porn organizations, there is now age verification rules that are super onerous, that are really just going to deter people from using websites legally. And part of their anti-porn propaganda is not only that they're going to ostensibly make it harder for kids to find the material, which is not actually going to be the result, but they're going to have at least in 14-point font or larger on the opening page of a porn website, scientific information about porn that describes it in ways that scientists do not, but make it sound like a scientist wrote it, saying that porn is biologically addictive. And a bunch of things like that, because porn has been declared like a health emergency by a bunch of Republicans, not by doctors. So this is definitely going to end up in court, and this is hopefully going to get overturned. So right now they're just wasting a bunch of tax and taxpayer money on this.
Yeah, I don't like it when politicians play with pseudoscience. It's not okay. And it's really important to know who are the true scientists, check their credentials, check where they're published. Are they in peer-reviewed journals and are they respected journals?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
That's incredibly true. And that's we've brought this up kind of previously, like I've said what I'm going to say before. I think that there is definitely room for a conversation on how to make sure that children aren't stumbling upon internet pornography, right? Or making sure that, you know, just like you post at casinos all over the place, if you have a gambling problem, please call this phone number while only checking for age. If you're old enough, you can destroy your life. But we understand that people destroy their life on this often enough that we feel it's necessary to put up a disclaimer or some way for you to get help on this thing. Similar to how we put up signs in bars that say, hey, if you're pregnant, you probably shouldn't be doing this. No one's gonna stop you, but you shouldn't. And like bringing that conversation to porn, sure, great. I don't know if the numbers are that well documented on like people who use porn to the point where it's debilitating the rest of their lives.
No. No, I think the biggest harm of porn is a lot of it's misogynistic. And when I speak with feminists that are trying to, you know, get equality, like, do women really like the money shot? Does porn really set up expectations for like what you can expect from your partner? Because the proportions are not the standard proportions. And is it only going to be, people are going to be hornified only by these giant shaved, you know, parts that you will never see on your standard partner, and then we'll all be dissatisfied and we all will need plastic surgery, right? So that's my negative as a mother of two daughters, is I want their partners not to have unrealistic expectations, to treat my daughters with respect, and whatever they enjoy, let them enjoy, but it shouldn't necessarily involve violence or degradation or stuff like that. And there's good porn, make love, not porn. There's great erotica out there, but there's a lot of stuff that's just like demeaning or your standard, you know, racist, sexist stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot on the show, and like just the need for media literacy in general, like right. for all media, for TV, for news, for radio, whatever. But like for porn specifically, because we don't have enough sexuality education. So when right. people come across porn and they don't have context for it, and their parents have never discussed with them what this form of entertainment is for, this entertainment is not supposed to be your sex ed. That wasn't what it was designed for. In the same way, the analogy we always give is like Fast and the Furious is not supposed to be your driver's ed. And like, you can, you know, you can have a lot of issues with what is in porn, but it's the reason they're doing that is because that's what people are going for. And so it's reflecting our own society's like crappiness back at us.
Right.
Porn is not creating these things. Misogyny started before porn, but it's like, you have to be able to understand that context and be right. like, who is making this and why? And like, when we don't have those discussions, then that's when you get negative impacts, because it's like, you're consuming media that's making you feel some type of way and you have no one to talk to about it. Like that's terrible. And then if this is your idea, like, this is what a girl wants me to do, sure, I guess I'll hit her, I'll choke her, like, because that's the only context I have, and my parents are embarrassed to talk to me about it.
Right, right. And that's the real issue. And the question is, who should help people with this, right? Is it on your random porn site? Is it on them to do? Is it on is it on AVN, right? Like, is it on like the bodies created by the big porn studios? Is it on them to do, right? Is it on the government to do? Is it on individual parents to do? And that's the question. And so I invite these conversations, but yeah, I usually disagree with every conclusion Texas comes to. you know, like, yeah, I have yet to try enough of the Texas barbecue to be like, no, they got something right. but usually wherever they go, I'm like, yeah, you didn't think this all the way through. But, you know.
This is just the latest of these kind of laws, right. too. This is not specific to Texas, because they are effectively, this is sort of like an augmented version of something that I think started in Louisiana and it's been popping up. There's a bunch of copycat bills all over the place. In
Utah had one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's what's happening. And it's like, yeah, I right. I would go with this free speech coalition over Texas's house, right? When it comes to these sorts of things. But yeah, it is quite it's an involved discussion.
And it reminds me of like Fosta Sesta, where it's like on its face, somebody who doesn't know anything about the subject is going to hear, oh, this is going to stop human trafficking. Well, of course I support that. Like, because who would be opposed to any measure that's going to prevent human trafficking? But what the actual impact is not that. It actually makes the problem worse. And then it creates a bunch of other problems. And this is going to be just another example of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It's the, yeah, the fact that it's a pseudoscientific warning. If we could, can we find the people to create a good scientific warning that's just like, hey, this is, and I mean, maybe the thing is, the post is something more along the lines of the acts portrayed on this website are in no way a full and reasoned, you know, measure of human sexual interaction. These are athletes performing athletically in a fake script that has been created by the people behind the camera. You know, like something like that. And be like, you know, if you're looking for sex ed, go here.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like something like that would be a way to answer this without, you know, also throwing in something that says, also, let's ban drag shows, which is usually how Texas behaves. And so it's like, yeah. You know.
I think you need to help them craft all of their legislation, Daryl. That was some good stuff, man. I totally back that.
I'll talk to the people in Pennsylvania and or Maryland well before I talk to the people in Texas.
There's some states you may not want to go to.
Yeah, because they're about to enact a law. Which one is it? Oh, no, it's not Texas. I remember what law it is where it's like, not only can you not have an abortion, but you also can't leave to get one. We know what they're doing outside. Like, yeah, I bills like that have a chilling effect on my travel plans. Not that I plan on running around like Johnny Apple nuts, but like I definitely
not Johnny running around. Apple nuts. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, that's like, a new person.
Like I'm not trying to do that, but like if you go outside the state, you were violating the state laws. Remind me too much of slave catching laws. Yes. And I don't like those. You know, full disclosure, I'm a little biased.
Well, no, the whole thing is ridiculous. Like, okay, so it's illegal to gamble in some places, but you're completely legally allowed to go to Vegas and gamble and then go back.
They can change
to
that, I guess, if they want
it's
to.
It's a slippery slope, man.
That's the interstate commerce system. Like, that we respect their state's law. What? No, they each have their own autonomy to set their own rules. I mean, that's what these people are always talking about states' rights for, right?
Isn't it? Isn't that funny? Isn't that wild how that works?
Isn't that why they were all like, ooh, states' rights? Isn't it for them?
Yeah.
Not for racist reasons.
Yeah, or sexist reasons, but, you know, hey, what can you do?
Oh. All right, well.
When the only tool you have is a cross, everything's the devil.
Oh, dang. Okay.
So we out here. All right. I had coffee.
All right. So we are going to head over into Dr. Yen's specific like area of expertise so we can hear much more of your brilliance. So we're going to go to our next segment, which is fucking brilliant. And this is where we're going to be talking about a variety of subjects, and I'm really going to have you sort of take it away, but some of the things we're looking at is the possibility of over-the-counter birth control becoming more available. You know, we read some articles on this, but obviously you are the source to go to. Take it away, I guess.
So the FDA has been reviewing an application for the O-pill. And it's a norgestrel, a specific type of progesterone only pill. So know that there's normal birth control pills with estrogen and progesterone, and there's 40 different pills, eight different progesterones. So if you don't like one, note that and tell your doctor, and you got seven others you could try. And often there's two different doses. And so if that dose is too much or too little, they can also bump that as well. So know that you in general have like 16 different pills you could go through, the normal pills that have estrogen and progesterone. Then there's the progesterone only pills, which in medicine we usually save for somebody who has like blood clots running in their family, personally had a blood clot in their lung or in their leg or a stroke or something like that, that we can consider the progesterone only pills. The only other people that we use a progesterone only pill are women who are breastfeeding. Because if you throw estrogen at them while they're breastfeeding, it stops the breast milk. And so we don't want to do that. And so usually those are the people that progesterone only pills are saved for. And one of the major reasons is the main pill that's out there, which is not the one that's going over the counter, but an older one, is norethindrone. And if you take that late by 3 hours and you had sex in the past 5 days, then you are at risk of pregnancy. And so our joke in medicine is, what do you call a woman on progesterone only pill? You call her pregnant or mama, because who hasn't taken a pill 3 hours late, right, in your life? And so we just are not a fan of the progesterone only pills because of that. This one that's going over the counter might have a greater grace period, but even in their research, they ended the last paragraph, we don't have enough data, so we just stick to the 3 hours for now. And so it'd be horrible if this goes over the counter and all the young people like, I don't see a doctor anymore. It's all pills are equal. I'm just going to go get this pill. And if they're 3 hours late and they haven't been educated about that, or they're just like, they think this is as good as the other stuff. So my hashtag, I'm all the hashtags, is hashtag get the good stuff. If you have access to a doctor and a provider who can give you all 40 of the regular pills plus these 3 other pills, do it. But if you have no access, yeah, something's better than nothing. And this one may be okay, but this one doesn't have the estrogen. And so what is the difference between a progesterone-only pill and an estrogen-only pill? Progesterone-only pills, your bleeding pattern could be totally whack. Some people bleed more, some people bleed less. And as a person with a uterus, I hate bleeding and I'm a control freak. And that's why I like the estrogen ones, because with 40 different pills, I'm pretty sure I can find one of those pills that I can turn off your period or at least make it regular every single month. But with this progesterone-only pill, I can just give it to you and be like, I don't know what's going to happen. Good luck with that, you know, but at least you're protected against pregnancy. And then if you have like endometriosis or polycystic ovarian syndrome, progesterone only is probably good for endometriosis, but polycystic ovarian syndrome, you want to block the egg from popping out. And about 70% of the time on the progesterone only pill, you still pop out eggs. And so that won't be good for the PCOS people. And then one of the benefits of the estrogen containing pills is it stops the eggs from popping out. And when you stop that, you decrease your risk of ovarian cancer by 50%. So again, if you go on this progesterone only pill, you're like, oh, it's going to protect me against ovarian cancer. It's not. But most people aren't using it for that. They're using it to prevent pregnancy. But if you have a doctor already, don't be like, I don't need to talk to my doctor about this or my community. I don't feel comfortable. This is my pediatrician. I want to bring this up. I'll just get this over-the-counter stuff. Know that what's going over-the-counter initially is not hashtag the good stuff. There is another pill that's coming that's estrogen and progesterone. The negative on that from the adolescent medicine, I specialize in teenagers and young adults. And so I care about your bone, and particularly a person of color, we're not so good with the lactose and the milk. And so our bone isn't necessarily good, but if you're like a big bone woman, then you're good. But if you're like a scrawny thing, or, you know, you don't drink much milk, Latinas, Asians, and Blacks, then we suggest Stanford Pediatric Gynecology, Stanford Pediatric Endocrinology, Stanford Adolescent Medicine, that you be on a birth control pill that has 30 micrograms of estrogen until 30 years old. So the next pill that's in the pipeline only has 20 micrograms. So if you're 30 and above, go ahead, you can use that one. But if you're under 30, again, if you're a young person like, oh, it's over the counter, now it has estrogen, I'm going to take it because I heard the progesterone only wasn't so good. And then 20 years, 30 years down the line, you're going to fall down the stairs and break your arm, break your leg, break your hip, because you didn't have enough estrogen to make your bones strong. And so we recommend 30 micrograms of estrogen. So I absolutely applaud birth control going over the counter. I absolutely applaud increasing access. But if you can access a doctor who can give you, or a provider, all your options, why wouldn't you do that versus the thing? And I created this company. I realized we've brought excellent, you know, better than UCSF Stanford care to wherever you have internet and a mailbox for just $30 once a year. We can deliver to all 50 states, and we can write the prescription currently in 15 states. And I have it in front of me because normally I can't memorize all these. It's too many to hold in my head. Arizona, California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, New York, Ohio, Texas, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, or Wyoming. And then we encourage birth control tourism. Like, for example, we're in New York, but we're not in New Jersey or Connecticut. But who doesn't get into New York once a year? I get in New York once a year, fill out the questionnaire, be like, I'm in New York right now, and I paid the $30. And then our doctor in New York would be like, okay, we'll write the prescription, and then we can deliver it to to all 50 states. So if any of those 15 states borders you and where you're not one of your states, if you can get to one of those states once a year, we can take care of you and give you all the options. So I just want to make sure that people know all their options and that people know that not all pills are equal. The first one going over the counter is progesterone only. The main limitation of that is that we don't know the window. So we in general advise if you're 3 hours late and you had sex in the past 5 days and you don't want to be pregnant and you're heterosexually active, consider some emergency contraception. But again, the question I ask a lot of people who attack me, they're like, you're just trying to promote your company. No, I'm just trying to prevent unplanned pregnancy. And I'm just trying to educate people, get all 43 options as opposed to just one, you know? And so just know your options and take care of it and prevent unplanned pregnancy.
I think it's like really noteworthy that like when Roe v. Wade's overturned, that it's also around the same time that there's all these other increasing barriers to like reproductive health. Like we're making it harder to do all of the things that would prevent an unplanned pregnancy that would then need to be ended, right? Like, so all of these things happening at the same time sort of like gives away the overall grift, right? Like it was never really just about preventing abortions.
Yeah. No, that was just the tip of the iceberg. And they have said they're coming after birth control next. Yeah. They're coming after emergency contraception. And another, you know, Pandia public service announcement for today is to know that if you take emergency contraception and you're pregnant, it does nothing to what's growing. It doesn't terminate it. If you want to terminate a pregnancy, you need to go get a medication abortion, mifepristone, misoprostol, or a surgical abortion. But taking Ella or Plan B in its generics will do nothing to if you're pregnant. And so if you have a positive pregnancy test, don't even waste your money or time. Take some emergency contraception. That's a totally different thing. You need to go get a medication abortion. And a good resource for everyone is plancpills.org. It's a nonprofit. You punch in your state. It tells you what your options are. And one of the options is aid access, where a woman in the Netherlands writes your prescriptions. The drugs come from India, so no one in the U.S. gets sued or goes to jail. But you need to like prepare in advance because there are state limits, et cetera, et cetera. And then another Pandia PSA, know that if you go into an ER and you took some medication abortion pills, there is no way for them to do a blood test or any test to tell the difference between a spontaneous abortion, aka miscarriage, and a medication abortion. So you can be like, I was pregnant. I don't know what happened. Or yeah, I was pregnant. I really wanted to be pregnant. And now I'm where I'm at. Please help me, you know, and they are legally bound to stabilize you, take care of you, whatever you need in the ER. They are not bound to terminate a pregnancy, but it depends state to state. Like Texas is crazy. They can't help you unless you're on the verge of death. And as a person with a uterus that and two daughters, that just scares the crap out of me. And as a doctor, it's just horrifying to have to sit there and be like, I have to wait until her blood pressure crashes or her heart rate shoots up or I see bacteria everywhere. Like, it may be too late to save someone. And that's not cool if I could have acted sooner and saved you. But also I'm hearing people go after doctors and be like, well, the doctors just do it. It's like, is there any other profession where you ask me to risk going to jail and lose my livelihood for you? I don't think so. Like, please don't ask this of me.
Yeah, it is a tough time right now. It is like, and like, In so many ways, the world is so much better than I even thought it was going to be. Like, this is getting a little bit philosophical right now, but like, I remember being in the Midwest like 20 some years ago and just being like, oh, same-sex marriage, that'll never happen. And we had that, but then all of a sudden we're like, oh yeah, legally your doctor can't help you until you're
on death's also door. I have to have the feeling that if all of these things go as planned, same-sex marriage will once again be on the table. You know, give them an inch, they'll take away your freedom. You know, it is important that you advocate for the things that you like about modern society. Mm. And it is important that you, when people talk ill about the things you like in front of you, you know, like when you're at dinner with your family, that you stand up and say something. If not to let that person know that they aren't in a room full of people that agree with them, but also so that the young people who know that it's not their turn to speak know that there's alternate opinions on stuff. That is how you, that's how you create a change around where you live and who you operate around. Yeah, because if you don't do that, then and you just let those people say whatever they want, it boils up to being a Texas like today's. So
yeah.
I
mean, that's such a really good point.
To register to vote, we need everybody to vote. And there's TurnUp. They are a nonprofit led by he's going to be a senior in college next year to get high school seniors to register to vote. Because in some states, you can register before you're 18 and get ready and just like register all the seniors on graduation day or something like that. And then he's also getting college students to register to vote. And we've partnered with him. If you all interested, if you know anybody applying to colleges or grad school, it's a petition to governors of anti-choice states and presidents of anti-choice state colleges. We are not applying to your state. You can't get a piece of this unless you respect bodily autonomy.
And wouldn't that be great?
And so it's turnup.us/petition. Share it with anybody you know, and anybody can sign it. But theoretically, people who are applying to colleges and stuff, they'd be like, this is not okay, you know, and it's just not okay because I fear for my daughters. They have a 1 in 4 chance of being sexually assaulted if they attend college. And that, like, what are the odds they're going to get out without being sexually assaulted? And it just, and then they should be able to do whatever the heck they want with their body if that happens. And there are just states, exactly as Daryl said, if you leave the state and you come back, they can arrest you when you come back. That's not cool.
Whew, sheesh. Yeah. It is quite a state right now. So like the brilliant thing is like, ideally this over the counter birth control would be like, you know, movement in a positive direction.
Yes.
There was also recently, Senator Patty Murray, is pushing to have, insurance be required to pay for over the counter birth control, just because it's like, why the hell not? It's like a super important part of healthcare. And it's like, you know, I think it's really funny, like dumb people on the internet will be like, why should I have to pay for it? I'm like, well, why should I have to pay for your heart medicine when I'm not your friend and I don't care about you? Like,
yes,
like you eat steak and that's the choice you're making. And, you know, like you smoke and you drink and we all do things that aren't great for us. And like, yet this is what it means to live in a society. We all throw in our lot together and that means we all get the benefits of it. So maybe shut up.
Yeah, but also it's just basic math. You know, I went to MIT and it's cheaper to pay for birth control, $15 a month. That's it, to cover some birth control. Like really, one Starbucks, like to take care of your birth control needs for the month versus $800 for an abortion, $10,000 for a vaginal, $40,000 for a C-section, not to mention the pre and postnatal care, the baby care, and the effect of an unplanned, unwanted pregnancy. And it's not a sexist thing because it takes two to tango. The only people that could really complain are the homosexuals, like, why should I pay for you? You know, but like 90-95% of the people are heterosexuals. So it takes two to tango. And an unplanned, unwanted pregnancy affects everyone.
Yeah,
there's like a lot of benefits to society to have kids be wanted.
Right. And to have well-milked people are going to want to have sex. It has plenty of benefits for society.
Mental
that you
health.
Have come in your own place before you go and mingle with other people around you. It makes you a better customer at a Starbucks if you just got off. We all have to live together. I don't have to approve of your choices to understand that if your choices make you a better taxpayer, that is good for me. Mm. You know, and usually when people bring up that, well, I shouldn't have to, that's my indication that we are having an argument in bad faith. And that is when I make fun of them and move on with my life, because that's who I am. And I've been having these arguments with people for a very long time. I was actually, I'm from New York City, and I too once spent my days after school getting people to register to vote before they were 18. So that's one of them states. So I've been having arguments with strangers on the street for a very long time, you know, when it comes to that nonsense. So, yeah, we live in a society is the best retort.
Yes. And just, you know, it's the numbers. It's fiscally smart and morally right to cover birth control. Yeah. And for every $1 the government spends on birth control, it saves $7. And that's not including the cost of an unplanned pregnancy on society. It's simply, as I gave you those numbers, 800, 10,000, 40,000 pre and postnatal, kind of costs. And then for private insurance, they save $4 for every $1 spent. So it's just fiscally smart and morally right to prevent unplanned pregnancy. So just, yeah, it's numbres. Duh.
An ounce of prevention, pound of cure. You know, exactly. The quote, mm-hmm. That thing.
Yeah.
Also, babies cry a lot and they don't listen. They can't be reasoned with. They can't be bargained with. They just yell whenever there's something wrong with them, and they don't have the frame of reference to know that this thing that's tickling my foot isn't trying to kill me, and I need everyone to know, right? So you can't reason with a baby, which is why you should take over-the-counter pills to avoid that entire situation.
The emotional terrorism.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I feel like we've all gotten a pretty good lesson on why we need to be getting our birth control together. So that seems like
a
good
time. And why should be for it, even if you don't have to actually take it.
Yeah, yes. Think about how much better your airline experiences will be.
The only children on there
cared for and wanted.
Yeah.
So on that note, we're gonna wrap up here soon. So Dr. Yen, where can people find out more about you? Where can they get hooked up with all of the amazing services that you provide?
Yeah, please check out Pandia Health. We are on every social media platform. So we have YouTube videos on new to the birth control pill. Here's Dr. Yen's top 3 tips to make sure starting the birth control is a good experience for you. Considering the birth control pill patch ring, this is the differences. This is what you should consider. And we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on LinkedIn, we're on like everything. Reddit a little bit, not that much. And if you want to find me, I'm Dr. Sophia Yen on Insta and TikTok, slowly building that. I'm more a Twitter person if you want to follow some more radical political stuff, Teen MD. And then recently just went on a rant on the evils of airplanes screwing me on my flight. So that is less, you know, Pandia Health focused. But we are proud to be the only doctor-led, the only women-founded, women-led. And I think I'm the only CEO that's taken the oath, do no harm. So we will always tell you what's best for your health, even if it doesn't benefit our bottom line. And to our investors, I will make money, but I won't make it pushing snake oil. And so watch out, people with uteri out there. There are people pushing stuff that isn't scientifically based, and know that 30% of the time placebo works. So, but you want stuff that's based on science. You don't want people profiting off you and taking advantage of you. And look at our customer reviews. Whenever I'm sad, I go look at our Google reviews, and it makes me happy that we're helping women get birth control, prevent unplanned pregnancy, and make hashtag periods optional. So another random PSA, if anyone is bleeding every single month and you don't like that, the number one cause of missed school and work under the age of 25 for a person with a uterus is painful or crazy heavy periods. Please see a provider if you have that issue. And the first line treatment is ibuprofen, 800 milligrams, 3 times a day for 5 days maximum. And it decreases the pain and blood by 30%. And failing that, then we got stuff we can prescribe you.
And you, I believe, put up a link just for DTF listeners, right? So if folks,
yes, I just created a code for you all. Thank you so much for having me today. DTF, if you put that code at checkout, you get $5 off the once a year, $30 fee that we charge you to use our doctors. If you already have a prescription and insurance, you pay us nothing. And we ship you birth control and we keep shipping it until your prescription runs out. And then 2 months before it runs out, we're like, go see your prescriber. 1 month, go see your prescriber. 1 week, go see your prescriber. And then the 15 states we can write the prescription, we're happy to write it. And it's just $30 once a year to use our expert doctors with unlimited questions for the entire year about anything birth control, not about anything else, because you only paid $30. And then our acne is a different platform, and our endometriosis is a different platform. But thank you so much for having me. Set up the code DTF, $5 off. Let it run until 2025. So
nice. Thank you for doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Daryl, if folks want to find out more about you and they want to come see you do comedy, where do they find out more?
You can go to darylcomedy.com, D-A-R-R-Y-L, and then comedy. If you can't spell comedy, my comedy, not for you. But you can go there. You can look at my calendar to see the dates of where I'll be performing and what I'm doing. There's also a page completely dedicated to my debut comedy album, Black Gentrifier, which you can listen to on all the streaming platforms, and also buy it. You know, just pay money for goods and do that. And also, if you see me in person, I have CDs and that I will sell you for $10, because the 90s were fun, right? And so we can do that, and you can see me in a variety of places. I will be in this summer, right off the top of my head, I will be in Baltimore, I'll be in Philly, I'll be in Jersey City, I'll be in Manhattan. Yeah, come through, see me, buy discs from me. There's also good artwork, and I'll sign them. So there's that. Black Trench Fire, darylcomedy.com. Dr. Timmery, where can the people find you?
You can find more on drtimmery.com. That is D-R-T-I-M-A-R-E. And you can find in the blog links to all the stories that we talked about on here and other sexuality that's in the news. You can also see all of my events. So some of them are education-based and some of them are burlesque and some of them are both. Like, for instance, we have Get You a Babe Who Can Do Both, which will be coming back in July, where burlesquers give a TED talk in the first half and then they perform burlesque. And we have a bunch of other ones coming up, like Safe Word, which is the all kink burlesque show. So if you were hearing about the nodding early on in this episode and we're like, ooh, that's the show where you're going to make some friends. So there's a bunch of stuff coming up. So it's at drtimmery.com. If you just want to look at pictures of my butt, you can go on Instagram at honeytree.evileye. You can also see Daryl and me at our 10-year anniversary show.
Very true.
Which is coming up June 24th. That'll be at Frankie Bradley. So get your tickets at dtf10years.eventbrite.com. And we will see you at Frankie Bradley's, where we're going to be doing some weird stuff with some friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Yen, thank you so much for finding time and hanging out again. You are always a delight.
Thank you so much for having me and covering these important topics and getting people, you know, active as opposed to apathetic. So please vote, please volunteer, please register, and please run for office. You are seeing badness happening in your area and no one else is standing up.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Thank you to our editor and producer, Flirt Vonnegut. Mm-hmm. Thank you to all of you for listening. Thank you for supporting for 10 Flim Flammin' years. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye. And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.